10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall. My name is Nathan Leal, and this is the third episode of our new program. For those of you taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. As I come to you today, Thanksgiving is behind us, and so is another Black Friday. Black Friday, folks. The rowdy day when supposed normal Americans turn into a bunch of greedy hooligans fighting over spatulas, towels, and video games. It is the day of shameful revelation, which reveals the heart, once known as the home of the brave. It seems that the land of America has repealed her moniker and replaced it with a dark day on the calendar that shows Americans as frenzied lemmings on a mission to covet and to acquire. And behind their mask of bravery, many Americans are really just a population of people who must have more stuff. On Black Friday in America, the dangling carrot of discounted retail items transforms the quote-unquote brave ones into frenzied wolverines. Have you seen it, folks? The video of the shoppers just gotta have the stuff? Black Friday. It's the sad day where coveting copycats enjoy a willing departure from their money. Here, take my hard-earned money. I don't want it. I gotta have this stuff. Folks, it's amazing and it makes no sense. It is the day where shopping is replaced with ripened maniacal greed that mimics third world mayhem. Have you ever seen the videos where the food drop takes place in a third world country after a natural disaster like an earthquake or a flood or a tsunami? And the villagers will gather around the relief workers and in a frenzy, they stampede one another, reaching for the bottles of water. As I observe the antics of these Black Friday shoppers, the shoppers look like they have never seen anything shiny, wrapped up, and ready for purchase, and they have to have them. And how ironic is it that this day follows the holiday when the nation should be taking a moment to give thanks to their maker. And these same people, one day later, undergo a shapeshift of their hearts. Or perhaps their hearts were really this way the whole time. Nevertheless, Black Friday is a day of transformation. It is also a day of much revelation, for it reveals that when the coming economic crash occurs, the land of yuppies and cul-de-sacs is going to turn into a landscape of heartless carnivores with college degrees. And what was once a concern, I believe, will become a reality. Because if American people are silly enough to fight over waffle irons now, while they have a few dollars in their wallet, what will they do when their 1 to 3 days of food runs out? What do you think, folks? Presently, America is populated by soccer moms, bingo grannies, and babies' daddies. And also at present, these same people have untriggered zombie blood running through their veins. And I say untriggered because most of them are hosting this contagion that's in hibernation. And this contagion, this plague, is a spiritual virus of selfish ambition and hatred for their neighbor, and love for trinkets and pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, do you remember that at one time in this nation, Mr. Rogers encouraged children to be kind to their neighbors? Unfortunately, Mr. Rogers is dead. Mayberry's Sheriff Andy has retired, and now the new icons of entertainment and society have preached the new gospel to the nation. The new gospel that says, hate your neighbor, sleep with your neighbor, or ignore your neighbor. And at the rate things are going, it may soon come to pillage your neighbor or even kill your neighbor. What do you think, folks? Will this ever happen here in America? I believe so, because the tide of hatred seems to be rising in society. Hate the other driver. Hate the boss. Hate the man. Hate the Christians. And Black Friday not only continues to reveal the score, but it also reveals the color of men's hearts and the amount of light in men's souls. Black Friday is a glimpse at the spiritual shroud that is now over the land of America. And while Black Friday may be a day's color on the calendar, in reality, it is also now the color of all of the days of the week. And as I look around and span the horizon, I must report that it does appear that darkness has arrived. And this darkness seems to be a very, very dense blanket of evil. Now in the book of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus warned us. He said that the love of many will wax cold. And I'm beginning to sense that this is happening to some people, including those who in the past have taken pride in being part of the awakened ones, or in other words, part of the remnant elect. Now, it may be possible that some of you may have been observing this very same thing. And if you have been noticing it, folks, please make it one of your topics of prayer. And please understand that if you have been finding yourself feeling a spiritual draftiness that tries to rob you of a passion for God, folks, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men." But with that admonition also comes the requirement to place effort in the trimming of your lamps. It's not automatic, and at times, prevailing winds will come to try to blow it out. Jesus told us the love of many would wax cold. Why did he say that? He said it as a warning to let us know that that was going to happen. But when we look behind the scenes at the why this is happening, why would the love of many people who once loved God grow cold? One of the biggest reasons would have to be because the enemy is attacking those individuals. And if the seed of their faith was not in good soil, if it wasn't getting watered, then the faith will wither and grow cold, as Jesus stated. And when you throw in financial problems in the lives of individuals, the stress levels are going to go up. There's going to be more of a tendency to want to just give up and throw in the towel. Therefore, we must be on our guard. And right now, we need to be drawing nigh to God. Right now, a great judgment is across the land of America. A huge judgment, folks, and it's wreaking havoc. Things are in uproar. There is much confusion. Many people are wondering what's going on. And then, at the same time, there are others that do not want to know the answer. There are others that do not care to know the answer. They want to play. They want to hide. And they want to escape reality. But nevertheless, my friends, the season is here. And this season means that those that are discerning would seek to find out the truth of the matter. How long is this season going to last? Have some of you wondered about that? How long till the recovery arrives? Will the recovery start when we get a new president? Will that factory that packed up and shipped out return to my city? There's a lot of questions, folks. Now, on this News from the Wall program, which is episode 3, I'm going to be giving an update on where we are. Now, my friends, I admit that sometimes this information is not easy to hear. But right now, we need to be listening to some information because I believe it's very possible that the people of God, which means those of you that are listening, may need to be coming up with a strategy. And the strategy that you need to come up with may cover several categories. When I say come up with a strategy, I'm talking about you with your family or you as an individual if you live alone. Whatever your living situation is, you may need to be coming up with a strategy if you have not done it thus far. There needs to be a strategy for a future plan for your family, a strategy for economic decisions that you may be making in the next few months, a strategy for the logistics of where you live right now, where you plan to be living in the future. You know, folks, a few months ago when I had my radio program, I regularly talked about the need to consider that in the event of a major, major meltdown or political change or of war in America, some of us may need to be thinking of relocation. And I talked about it here and there. Some of you talked about it, and I'm sure you prayed about it. But then it seems that over the last few months, things have gone quiet. Have you noticed that, folks? It's a lot quieter in the news, or at least it seems that way. I'm going to talk about that in a few moments, but nevertheless, if things stopped being quiet and we had the events starting to resume where they left off with even more intensity, it's possible that some of you could have regret that you didn't try to take advantage of the lull. So even though we're in a slow time right now, or what seems to be the eye of the storm, my friends, I want to encourage you to revisit the what ifs. I'm not saying to dwell on it. Some of you do not like to think about it too much because there's a tendency for it to depress you or make you sad or scare you. I understand that, folks, but I have a strong feeling that things are not going to stay calm for much longer. I think that this calm is coming to the end of its duration. And when this intermission is over, watch out, folks, I think we're going to be needing to fasten our seatbelts. So as I was saying, coming up with strategies, some of you may need to also come up with a strategy for money decisions. What do you do with your money? If some of you have savings, if you have IRAs, if you have pensions, if you have 401ks, if you have money in the bank, some of you are going to really need to think about what to do with your money, with your investments, with your portfolio. Is it really in good hands? Now, if some of you have a professional financial advisor who, for the most part, thinks according to traditional rules, and if you were to call them up and say, I'm a little worried about what's going on with current events, should I keep my money in the present portfolio or where you have it? A lot of them might just start reciting professional sounding confidence. Oh, don't worry, Mrs. So-and-so. We've been doing this a long time. We know what we're doing. Our mutual fund is sound. Don't worry about it. It's going to be okay. If you tried to talk to them about your concerns with the euro or the dollar's future, some of them may also use their professional sounding words to dampen your concerns. So, my friends, if you are in that situation, then you need to be thinking about a new strategy possibly, because what if your finances are not in the correct place? And then in 6 months from now, we see the eurozone crash, and then we see the dollar crash, and then we begin to see the investment portfolios of a lot of retired people and suddenly lose 50 to 75 to 90% of its value. Then what do you do? Nathan, is that going to happen? Eventually, I believe that there is going to be a great transfer of wealth. And I believe that a lot of individuals who are confident in the traditional investments they had are going to be very surprised. A lot of people are going to lose everything. So strategies need to be undertaken. Some of you may be wondering, Nathan, why are you talking about finances? Tell us the news. Here's why, folks. Because about a year ago, I had a prophetic dream where I saw the life savings of Americans stolen. They were robbed from the people. Now, how this takes place and the exact details of how this is going to happen, I don't know. But the conclusion is that the savings of many Americans are going to be stolen. So that's why I'm talking about it, folks. Is there a way to hedge and protect and preserve your wealth? Yes, there is. I know that some of you listening would say, Nathan, I don't have a retirement. I'm on Social Security. My wealth is gone. My house was foreclosed on. I don't have any wealth. And when you talk about it, it makes me sad. So please don't talk about it. My friends, I apologize if this topic is a sore point with you. But for the sake of others, for those individuals that may still have this concern, that's why I'm mentioning it. All right, folks? So strategies need to be a part of those people of God that are awake. Now, very rarely do I ever talk about gold and silver. I leave that concern for the people who deal with that kind of thing. But if some of you are wondering, Nathan, I do have some savings, and what should I do with it? Should I buy gold and silver to try to preserve my savings? My answer would be that's something to pray about. And if you do that, make sure that it's physical. Don't do any of that paper gold and silver where you invest in ETFs. Let it be physical where you have it in your hand and you can have it in a safe place. The wise ones will always have strategies. When we look in Scripture at those individuals who had to deal with catastrophic events And when some of those individuals were warned by God, strategy was involved. Joseph used the strategy to work hard and save his grain in advance. Noah worked very hard to build a boat for his family. It does not hurt to have strategy. Now, some people may say, well, Nathan, my strategy is just to have faith. I'm not going to worry about it. And I would say if that's what you feel led to do, then go for it. God bless you. But for those of you that do have a desire to try to do something a little bit extra, then strategy is the way to go. Now, I want to spend some time talking about some news events that seem to be on the forefront of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, it appears that right now, foreign policies of nations are making plans for war. And if war does happen to erupt, what if it is a big war? What if it results in a world war? Now, at this moment in time, a new world war is probably the furthest thing from most people's minds. Nathan, world war happening right now? You got to be kidding. I don't want to see something like that happening, but as I'm reading the news, it seems that the waving of sabers is occurring more and more. It seems that diplomacy is continuing to fail. Threats are starting to increase. Now, at this point, it is just speculation. But when we also enter into the equation the prophetic warnings that God has given to many individuals, including myself and others, some of you have received prophetic warnings from God of war happening in parts of America being attacked. Now, of course, when God gives prophetic warnings to individuals, when people see glimpses of future events, they don't always know when they're going to happen. And that's the handicap of the prophetic giftings. We only know in part and prophesy in part. So we don't know exactly when. But when we look at the present stories on the news, it's not looking very good. If the deterioration of diplomacy is happening right now on the world stage, and if these events are the very, very beginning in the timeline of the very end, then I want to know about it. If they're the end time events, I want to know, folks, because I want to be prayed up. I want to have my lamp full of oil. I also understand that if that's true, that means that our lives are about to change in a way that we have never, ever anticipated. So if we're about to see war begin, that means that we need to have our spiritual armor on right now. Our swords need to be getting sharpened right now. That means that you need to be sharpening your sword, my friend. We all do. So back to the war scenario. What if this new world war meant that, what if a draft started because of a future world war? What if you have children in that age group? What do you do? What do you say? Do you say, bye, son, have fun, make good choices, see ya, I hope you make it back? By the way, there are options. And I'm pretty sure for the most part, those of you with children in that age group haven't even thought about this. Because why would you? We don't have a draft right now. But God forbid, if things did deteriorate and a war started and a draft started, then the supper time conversation is going to change across America. Now, my friends, I'm not bringing all of these things up to scare you or to place fear in your heart. But these are the kinds of things that I have been thinking about lately because I myself have an 18-year-old son. That's why I think about it. And I'm using war right now as an example because it's a good example of how some world events could affect your life. My friends, as an individual that tries to tell the truth and tries to share the truth, I must say with much regret that in the coming future, now when I say coming future, it could be years from now. It could be in the next decade. But in the coming future, there will be dinner conversation made by millions of Americans that is no longer speculation, but actual reality. Because reality will be occurring. And my friends, eventually war is going to arrive. And here's why, folks. Because when the economies of nations start to deteriorate, as bad as America's is deteriorating right now, and as bad as Europe's, war seems to be the inevitable direction that the world takes to get out of economic crisis. They keep using the comparison to the Great Depression, and this phrase seems to be attached to a lot of statistics that are recited in news reports. And we've been hearing over and over by figureheads of politics. I keep hearing this phrase. This is the worst financial crisis that America has been through since the Great Depression. I've heard that term over and over, and folks, you know what I'm talking about. And I've argued this point over and over on this program. If we were just in a recession, or if the recession's actually over and we're recovering, why do they continue to compare our history to the Great Depression? Here's why, folks. Because the numbers that they're reciting are the same as they were in the Great Depression in the 1930s. That's why. And if the numbers are the same as they were in the Great Depression, then that tells us something else. And here it is, folks. We're in a depression right now. It's here. This is what it looks like. I find it interesting that most people do not even know it. At least people in the general population. But what's Obama's excuse? He knows the truth. And what's O'Reilly's excuse? And all those other individuals on those news channels? What's their excuse? Nevertheless, if they compare our present history to the Great Depression, that means we're in a depression, folks. And when we look at the history of the Great Depression in the 1930s, it was World War II that brought us out of the Great Depression. War, which entailed a draft. And that's why I'm talking about these things right now. Because when we encounter events that could change our lives or, God forbid, end some of our lives, then we better be spiritually ready. Folks, right now, the time for messing around is behind us. And the time for becoming vigilant, the time for becoming awake, is now upon us. Now, when we look at the news of world events, one of the big challenges that we face is finding the truth of what's really happening. Because right now, so much is not happening, but at the same time, so much is happening. Several months ago, when we were seeing regular weekly headlines of natural catastrophes and earth change catastrophes, it was easy to know that times were different. It was easy looking at the headlines and saying, yeah, that's another sign from God right there. He's trying to tell us something. But then, toward the end of the summer, it got quiet. You remember that, folks? I think that there were some individuals that were on board with getting prepared. They were concerned about Elanin. But then when Elanin did not happen, they kind of got burnt out. They still feel burnt out. In my last program, I talked about this, but I am mentioning it again because if this might have been you, my friend, we're living with the handicap of not knowing everything. Folks, do you remember how 2011 began? Do you remember? 2011 began with the sudden arrival of dead fish and dead birds in different locations. We started seeing this phenomenon all happen at the same time. And then soon after that, we saw the uprisings start in the Middle East and spread throughout the region. Some of these uprisings led to regime change and revolution. We saw protesting in Tunisia and Egypt, Libya, Yemen, Bahrain. Some of them had regime change. We saw protesting in Algeria, in Iraq, in Jordan, Morocco, Oman, Kuwait, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia. And this became known as the Arab Spring. And because of what happened in these uprisings, the Middle East is now become a different sort of animal. It's become more vocal in its anger toward the West. And it's deteriorated the diplomacy that, at least for the most part, held it together and held it in check. But now, we've seen regime change by the Muslim Brotherhood, who has taken over a lot of these countries, and now has influence in a lot of these countries. And the Muslim Brotherhood has a mission. It has an agenda. It has goals, and those goals have to do with the destruction of Israel and also revolution to try to bring down the West. But in addition to the Arab Spring, we also saw a new wave of terrible earthquakes and tsunamis. Japan experienced a 9.0 earthquake and a tsunami that brought devastation and death, and then it destroyed a nuclear power plant, which resulted in a nuclear meltdown in several reactors. Now, folks, think about that. Japan experienced nuclear core meltdown at their power plants. It happened, folks, and it's still occurring. And these meltdowns released poisonous radiation into the air as well as into the sea. And that radiation has drifted to many parts of the Northern Hemisphere, including the United States and Europe. And Europe recently made an observation. Their radiation monitors have been picking up radiation signatures, and their officials actually said, now get this, folks, we don't know where it's coming from. And that radiation also reached America and Canada, and it came down as rain, and it ended up in cow's milk here in America and in Canada. And a few months ago, this was news. You remember that, folks? But today, it is no longer news. Because the EPA, who by their very name is a bureaucracy sworn to protect the environment, Environmental Protection Agency, has decided to stop monitoring the arriving radiation poison. Canada has also followed suit, which leads me to another question. Why? Why, folks? I'll tell you why. Because they know it's still coming. But of course, since the powers that be are those that are masters at propaganda, they know that the majority of the breathing population has a low attention span, and they will forget about it, especially after you give them a new season of reality TV. You know, folks, it's true. For the most part, Americans and Canadians just want to be entertained. They don't want to be challenged with disturbing news about radiation in the water. And as a result, the story, for the most part, has died. And now, if you were to ask them, hey, are you concerned about the radiation? They would answer, what radiation? What are you talking about? I've also noticed that this phenomenon of observation is even in the thinking of Christians. Because most individuals who call themselves members of the body of Christ will say, don't tell me about that stuff. It scares me. It disturbs me. It can't be true, or they get mad at you for saying it. Nathan, stop spreading fear. You know, folks, there was an old pop song in the 1980s called Tell Me Lies, Tell Me Sweet Little Lies. And it appears that this is the desire that is wired into most people. It seems that individuals would rather hear a lie than the truth, especially if the lie is packaged with sugar and an aroma like a bouquet of flowers. People don't want to hear the truth, folks. And over the last few years, I've shared some prophetic warnings about judgments coming to America. God revealed some details of things to come. Some of them have happened, some have begun, and some are still approaching. And some people, including Christians, have said, Nathan, you made that stuff up. Stop it. It's true, folks. Over 2 years ago, the Holy Spirit said that the waters of America would be poisoned. And that's on record. That's a prophecy God gave me in April of 2008. And since then, the Gulf spill happened, which poisoned the Gulf of Mexico. And some people said, Nathan, that's not poison. You can't say that's your prophecy. The Gulf of Mexico's now healthy. Everything's okay there now. But you know, folks, tell that to the shrimpers in the Gulf who are now finding that their efforts to shrimp are in vain. Much of the fish that were once bountiful in the Gulf of Mexico are now dead. The shrimp are gone. Listen to this story right here.
A man in the seafood business for decades says he's getting out of it. Carolyn Schofield explains how the fallout from last year's oil spill impacted his company.
Dean Blanchard Seafood has long been a booming business in Grand Isle. But Thursday night, Blanchard closed the doors to his plant, possibly for good.
I came home and I started looking at my books, and I don't see why it pays us to stay open. Basically, we're giving more credit than what we're getting in profits. You know, we're going backwards.
Blanchard is featured in a documentary debuting at the New Orleans Film Festival. The Big Fix chronicles last year's oil spill and BP's efforts to clean it up. Producers of the film talked about it Friday afternoon. They claimed the oil and dispersants are making wildlife and people sick.
I had 13 upper respiratory infections from June of last year until May of this year.
Blanchard says he's seen the problems firsthand. He says fewer shrimp are coming in this season. And some of the shrimp that do make it to his plant show signs of contamination.
We're seeing dead porpoises. We're seeing shrimp with no eyes that's still alive. We're seeing fish with tumors the size of golf balls in them. We're seeing fish with all over the gills. We're seeing shrimp with all over the gills. It's hard for me to think that everything's going to be all right.
Blanchard received compensation from BP last year, $1 million. He says that only covers half the credit he extended to his customers.
And right now, on NSF check that I'm holding from customers that never give me a bad check before, people I've been doing business with 20 and 25 years just don't have the money to pay you.
Blanchard let go of 65 employees immediately following the spill, and the 20 remaining could soon be out of a job. He says he plans to keep fighting BP in the hopes the company will continue to pay up and clean up so his employees can get back to work. In New Orleans, Carolyn Schofield, Fox 8 News.
Tom Barrios relies on the Gulf of Mexico for his livelihood. He's a Louisiana crabber and shrimper who, since the BP oil disaster, has been losing lots of money.
How scary of a time is this for you and your wife and your family?
If we had a way out, we would probably get out.
Leaders in the seafood industry say catches are way down compared to before the disaster. There's just not as many fish. And there is also this.
Are you concerned about the safety of the food?
I'm very concerned. I have children. Very concerned.
So you're concerned as a businessman and as a father?
Correct.
Fishermen certainly don't like to speak negatively of their cash crop. But you don't only hear it from the fishermen. You hear it from their leaders, such as the president of the Louisiana Shrimp Association.
Do you feel safe for you and your family to eat the shrimp?
I eat it.
But do you feel 100% confident it's as healthy as it was before the oil spill?
No.
When the BP oil well was capped, this story started fading from the memories of people. But not for the people whose livelihoods depend on this water. Their fear and anxiety only made worse by the lack of public attention now being paid.
Fishermen are bringing in shrimp without any eyes, and not just, you know, eyes pulled off. This is something that they evidently have lost their eyes and are still alive.
What does that tell you?
It tells me something's wrong.
So on an average day before the oil spill, you could have 30,000 pounds of shrimp coming in.
Oh, definitely, and that's not a good day. That's just an average day.
30,000 pounds.
Yes,
sir. And how many pounds have come in today?
Zero.
It's likely that the population declines in the shrimp are due to the same contaminants that we're worried about if people eat them.
There is disagreement over the health risk, but no disagreement about how life has dramatically changed on the Gulf Coast. Gary Tuchman, CNN, Golden Meadow, Louisiana.
Did you hear that, folks? The judgment has reached this land, and we're just at the very beginning stages of it. The beginnings. Now, as I was stating, in the first half of 2011, the news stories were dramatic because they had to do with weather and earth changes. The Joplin tornado, that was a huge story. But since then, the news has been furnished with distractions. For example, the presidential hunt and the mud that goes with it. We've seen the stories about the occupiers in Wall Street. And we've also seen some stories here and there about what's happening in Europe. But these stories are not everything that is happening. There are now many, many things that are happening behind the scenes. And I know that some of you may actually have wondered, hey, where's the big doom? I thought that it would have happened by now. I'm hearing these things from some of you. It's true. It does seem a little bit quieter. But folks, please do not go back to sleep. Please stay vigilant. Now, I want to mention some of the looming events that we're facing right now. One of them happens to do with the world economy. And then after that, I'm going to talk a little bit about war. But right now, the pressure cooker of Western finance is still over the fire. It is simmering. Also, my friends, the fire cannot be turned off. Now, the Einsteins of banking and politics are trying to extinguish the fire, but this pressure cooker has been placed over the fire by the forces of corruption and greed, and also by the hand of God. Therefore, it cannot be removed, no matter how hard they try. And right now, the flame is slowly increasing, which is also increasing the pressure of this container. And eventually, folks, the financial pressure cooker is going to explode. Now, how long till this happens? I don't know. It could be a few weeks. It could be a few months. And I've said this before, folks. Any delay that we have should be utilized by all of us. So enjoy your family, enjoy the holidays, and keep preparing. Keep seeking God. Now, as I observe the present pre-crisis, I notice that if the worst case scenario does happen, folks, then the consequences are going to be dire and explosive. And there are things that are shaping up in several major categories. One of them is the euro crisis. Now, this category of contagion is not an event in itself because it's actually intertwined with so many other looming events. so it can't be isolated by itself. And because of that, it appears that America's future, your future, and the world's future is going to be affected by the pre-crisis that is now in play in Europe. Now, for those of you that have tried to keep track of this situation in Europe, the news seems to be changing daily. And it seems that they're running around trying to solve it. Many of the politicians and bankers and political heads are calling meetings, and we're hearing about remedy after remedy after remedy, but then we hear that these attempts to solve the crisis are not going to work. And if some of you really haven't been following this European problem, in summary, Europe's crisis has been fueled by the volatility of their member nations' sovereign debt. So in other words, the Eurozone has several member nations. And all of these member nations that are a part of the European Union each have their own national debt. Just like the United States has a huge national debt, all of these nations also have debts. And some of the nations are not able to service their debts. And then at the same time, there's other member nations in Europe that are stronger. So the European community is asking the stronger nations to help the weaker ones. And the stronger nations, for example, Germany, is tired of having to help them. Germany doesn't like having to be the one to solve the problem because they figure they're the ones that got into debt. We have our own debt to worry about. So it has to do with their debt. And lately, some of this news is starting to reach the shores of America. It hasn't been a part of mainstream news. Here and there they talk about it, but for the most part, it's been ignored because there are more important things on the table, America. For example, Dancing with the Stars and American Idol. Those are the things that are most important. The latest iPod gadget, the latest video game, the latest entertainment reality TV show, the latest Hollywood movie. Those are the types of things that occupy the minds of the short attention span Americans. So on the mainstream news, here and there, they're starting to talk about it. But as this contagion continues to deteriorate in Europe, I've been wondering, folks, if America will ever talk about it. Because I wonder, at what point will America even care or start to worry? I don't know, folks. At times, it's challenging to try to figure out America's pattern of ignorance and blindness. But nevertheless, when that day does come, because it is going to come, and when it arrives, and when that day shows us that Europe is finally going into financial core meltdown, it is going to spread to America. It's going to arrive here on our shores. It's going to hit Canada and the rest of the world. And when it does arrive, it's going to affect us in ways that we may not expect. By the way, if some of you are wondering, well, can God stop it? Will he stop it? Folks, in summary, it would take an incredible miracle of God to stop the coming crisis. Of course he can do it, but we have the formula. Those that are Christians know the formula. And the formula has a big if in it. It's the word if, folks. If my people called by my name. This is the if factor. And this if factor is the ignored and forgotten factor in Europe and in America. Because I have not seen many public appeals to God from the prominent ones of Europe or America. And while God has his hand on the flame of the pressure cooker, who's asking him to turn it down? Perhaps a few of his people have done it. Perhaps you have. And maybe God is delaying the inevitable for our own benefit. So my friends, please take advantage of this delay, because eventually it's going to happen, folks. Now, after the crash does happen, when we find ourselves in the post-crashed world, I have to wonder, what will it look like? And I've also wondered this, folks. Will most citizens even know that it happened? Or will there be a massive propaganda campaign to keep them asleep? Because as we look around now, I already find it amazing that we've seen this much deterioration in the economy, and many people still think that it's just a recession, or that's all it was, and that we recovered. Amazing, huh, folks? We're already in a depression, and most people don't even know it. By the way, my friends, I can never get used to saying that. It sounds weird to say that, that here in America, right now, we're in a depression. And the other weird thing is that I've always wondered, what would it be like? You know, folks, we've seen those black and white pictures of the people in the early depression, and we saw what it looked like, those long lines, the people with their signs. Oops, we do have people with signs now, but the signs say something else. So I guess that doesn't count, does it? But anyway, I always wondered what it would be like, and this is what's amazing. Here we are in a new depression, and it's not in black and white. It's in living color with surround sound, and most people have no clue. But maybe it's because this is only phase one, and phase two is still coming. And when it does, folks, will it be more of the same sort of public delusion and deception that we're seeing now? Will it be so horrible that every other house in America is a foreclosure house and empty, but still people will be going on their way to the shopping mall without a clue? I don't know, folks. These days are indeed very, very strange. Now, folks, I've been reading the comments made by some of the analysts on the internet that happen to understand and know what's going on with the euro crisis. And some of these analysts are awake and they understand the plans of the New World Order. They understand that it's all a rigged Ponzi scheme. So I find their articles very interesting when I read them. And according to some of the articles that I have read, there is some speculation on how this thing's going to play out. So let me share what one of the theories is on how it's going to play out. Now here it is. Right now, Europe is in crisis. And when the House of Cards starts to topple in Europe, we're going to start seeing some of the nations make official announcements that they're defaulting on their loans. And then one by one, as they do this, we're going to see the cascading effect start spreading through European banks. Now, in what order will it happen? I don't know. After it happens, there will be a cascading effect to the banks, and then the information will be spread to the public, and then we may see bank runs in Europe where people are trying to take their money out. Some of them may not make it to the bank, so they'll try ATM machines, and we may see that some of the ATM machines are out of money. And then after that happens, we're going to start seeing those same banks that have a presence in the shores of America, and then it'll spread to Japan, the United States, Canada, Australia, and then it's going to start affecting the U.S. dollar. Now, at first, many people may want to get rid of their euros and place them in another currency to protect themselves. So at first, we may see a lot of people investing in U.S. treasuries in the dollar. But this flight from the euro may help the dollar temporarily, but at the same time, we're going to see chaos in the banking world. And the chaos is also going to start spreading to the bond markets of the world. Now, how long will it take for that to happen? I don't know, folks. But after it does, then we may see drastic measures, emergency meetings, where they have to devalue their currencies, which will hurt the buying power of the public. And then after a period of devaluation, we're going to see a period of inflation, where the currency needs to be inflated. So we'll see a 1-2 punch in this coming crash. Devaluation of their money, but then inflation, where everything is going to get very, very expensive in Europe, and then it's going to spread to America and also affect us. It's going to start affecting the prices of our supplies and our foods and our things here in America. What I just explained on how it can play out is not prophetic. That is based on some of the observations that I have made and comments from financial analysts that are studying this situation. Okay, folks? I'm just sharing with you what some of the analysts believe is going to happen. Now, in the meantime, it looks like Mr. Ben Bernanke is going to once again announce another session of quantitative easing, QE Part 3. It looks like they're going to do it. And according to some of the reports I'm reading, they're going to do this after the first quarter of 2012. So be watching for that. Side note, if this does happen where QE 3 is activated, I expect to see gold and silver once again rise in price, because if you can remember, it was in November of 2010 when QE2 started, and after that happened was when we saw the great increase in the value of gold and silver. Of course, silver rose up to its peak of almost $50 and then retreated back to the low 30s where it is now, but it was QE Part 2 that took it from, what was it, around 20-something dollars to where it is now. So those of you that have been wondering about investing in gold and silver, do it before March of 2012 when QE3 starts. It's going to make gold and silver go up. Now, in the coming months of 2012, it looks like the main news stories are going to be either the European crisis, a dollar crisis, the American debt crisis, or even the failure of the super committee. Now, the super committee that was instilled a few months ago that's supposed to come up with the great rescue and decisive actions to cut the spending of America's budget, they are also meeting with failure. The super committee is made up of 12 members, 6 Republicans and 6 Democrats, and they cannot seem to come to an agreement on the areas to cut or what to do. And the legislation of this super committee also includes automatic budget cuts that says in the event that they cannot come to an agreement. So we're going to be hearing about that story in the next few weeks. If automatic budget cuts do happen, then we're going to be seeing some very unhappy people in different areas of the American economy. But getting back to what we are facing, at present, a demolition of the euro currency is in the making. So we'll see where that's going to end up. And here on the shores of America, we also have the developing stories of the American election. And folks, how many of you dread looking forward to the season of the American election? Because this is the time period of dirt and mud billboards by poster boys who claim to have a clue. And it appears that the Republicans are presently in a shuffle for a good candidate because the front runners continue to be a rotation of names that come and go. How many remember that a few months back we had the Donald running for president, and he came, he saw, and now he's gone. We've seen that Ron Paul seems to have good numbers here and there, but folks, we know that for the most part, the powers that be would never let him win. So that's a long shot. And then we have Mr. Mitt Romney with his large bank account taking his turn to be a front runner, and then he falls behind. I guess we'll see with him. And then we have seen Citizen Kane, Mr. Godfather's Pizza, who went to the front of the line, but then the accusers showed up. Women have come forward saying that he is guilty of improprieties. Are these stories true? I don't know, but Mr. Kane has debated bowing out of the race, and I guess we'll find out pretty soon whether he's going to do that. And then recently we saw Mr. Rick Perry, the Texas Cowboy. He was the king of the hill for 15 minutes, and then he got knocked down. So now, here we are, folks, the beginning of December, and it appears that our amphibian friend, Mr. Newt Gingrich, the recycled neocon lover of the Patriot Act and promoter of the war on terror, which is actually the war on American citizens, he seems to be the guy at the moment. How long will he last? I don't know. I guess we're going to see. You know, folks, whoever wins on the Republican side, for the most part, it's not going to change anything. Most of you know that the game is rigged. And until Mr. Obama's marching orders are complete, he's not leaving office. And in spite of his record low approval rating, which just recently has gone below Jimmy Carter's, Obama was placed in office. Now, folks, this is what I really believe is going on. Obama was placed in office to destroy America, and he is successfully accomplishing his plan. By the way, for the record, I do not have ill will towards Obama, because he's God's vessel of dishonor to chastise this nation. I don't trust him, and I do believe that he's a Muslim, and I also believe that America deserves Obama right now. Why? Because they've turned their backs on God. So back to what I was saying. The coming election may serve to distract from the real news. Nathan, isn't the election the real news? Well, yeah, it used to be. You would think that it is, but this time around, folks, I don't think it matters who wins. Because America's path to crisis is going to continue with Obama or with whoever takes his place. Plain and simple, the hand of man cannot save America from the inevitable. It's impossible. And here's what the inevitable is, folks. God has decided that America is going to be judged. Therefore, it is being judged. It started in 2008, approximately. Here we are at the end of 2011, so that's 8, 9, 10, 11, into 12. So we're approaching the fourth year of this time period. And I believe that this thing is not going to be settled for years to come. I could see this thing taking the rest of the decade to follow through, folks, so we're just getting started. Now, another category of looming challenge facing us is war, and I want to talk about war for a bit, and then we're going to be done with our time. But it's war, folks. As I said earlier, I believe that war could arrive here. I believe that America could find herself in a world war, and it could change everything in our lives. Now, of course, the next war that we're facing does not have to be the big one, because the big one could be down the road a little bit. But the next war could be a regional war. It could be in the Middle East, but then it could also be a nuclear war and possibly World War III. So I believe eventually it's going to get ugly, folks. And I'm very concerned about this because things are deteriorating in this category. And this is something that we need to be watching. Now, the escalation is happening right now with many different countries. It's all happening right now at the same time. And Russia has been making responding gestures to America's movements towards Syria and Iran. And they've also been throwing back some threats to America and to the NATO countries that we better watch it. Just recently, the United States Embassy in Syria has urged American citizens to leave Syria immediately. Now, that's not a good sign. Also, the American aircraft carrier, the George Bush, has left the area of the Persian Gulf and is relocated off of Syrian waters. So, question, folks, is the United States about to invade Syria? Or are they there to observe an invasion by someone else? Will NATO attack Syria? If any of these things do happen, Iran has already said that they're going to get involved. And if they do, then what? Russia will not look too kindly at this thing. And Russia is Iran's partner. And then we have Israel, who's been threatening to strike Iran to stop Iran's nuclear program. There seems to be several plans on the table for an attack on Iran. Some of the plans involve Israel doing it alone, and some of them involve the Allies helping. But will the United States or Britain help Israel attack Iran? The reports are changing by the day, folks, with this developing story. Now, Israel has reportedly deployed its long-range Jericho missiles around Jerusalem. This is just a brand new development in the last few days. And Iran has also threatened to rain down 150,000 missiles on Israel if Israel attacks them. Now, I have to wonder, does Iran even possess that many missiles? That's a lot of missiles, 150,000, but that's what they said. And Iran also threatened to attack NATO nations. So Iran is waving a sword not just at America and not just at Israel, but to European nations. What's going to come out of that, folks? Now, recently, the leader of Syria, Assad, stated that if any crazy measures are taken against Damascus, this is what he said, and I quote, "I will not need more than 6 hours to transfer hundreds of rockets and missiles to the Golan Heights and then fire them at Tel Aviv from there." And then Assad also said, all of these events will happen in 3 hours, but in the second 3 hours, Iran will attack U.S. warships in the Persian Gulf, and also U.S. and European interests will be targeted simultaneously. So apparently, Mr. Assad, the leader of Syria, has been in communication with the leadership of Iran, and Iran has told them, don't worry, Syria, if they mess with you, we're going to back you up. We will attack them. And this is my concern, folks. If these things do play out, what does Iran have up her sleeve? Do they have sleeper cells in America waiting? Or do they have sleeper cells waiting to attack other areas of the world? Our military bases, our soldiers? Apparently, they have something planned and they feel very confident that they can cause a lot of bloodletting if we get involved in the scuffle. So that's what we face right now, folks. Russia and China have already hinted that they are going to be on Iran's side if Israel and America attack them. So we are facing a powder keg of destruction, and the drums of war are beating very loudly right now. And I have to wonder, when we add into the equation that the year 2012 is upon us, and when we add into the equation that members of the religion of the New World Order and the Illuminati and the elite, they also have religious beliefs that the world needs to be purged. And also in their eyes, the New World Order is a post-crisis world. And those that believe in the New World Order also believe that it coincides with the age of Aquarius. And according to them, the age of Pisces is an age that the world is leaving, and the age of Aquarius is the new age for the world. And the world gets to enter it only after it's been purged of its undesirable citizens, which means war is welcome. And a crisis that would cause a depopulation to the earth is also a welcome thing to these religious zealot fanatics. So folks, this entire scenario has so many variables. And right now we are in a territory of pre-crisis, and this pre-crisis can erupt into a present crisis in order to get to their post-crisis. Iran has also stated that they want their Iman to show up, their new leader, their new spiritual savior. And the only way that he can show up is if Iran goes through a bloody war. So these people want war, folks. The bankers want war. The elite want their war. The crazy generals and many militaries want war. Folks, I believe that we are in store for a very, very interesting future. 2012 could be very, very pivotal in many of our lives. So in conclusion, my friends, I want to challenge all of you that are listening to put on your armor, your vigilance, your discernment. Right now is not the time for sleeping. Let's not give up, because those that endure to the end will be saved. My friend, please share this message. I know that the information on this program was pretty sobering, but my friends, that's one of my jobs, to be a watchman and to share the warning message with those that will listen. If some of you may find yourself challenged with the things you hear on this program, take them to God in prayer and ask Him about them, and let Him confirm the things that you're hearing. All right, folks? And I want to say that if you appreciate these messages, folks, we rely on your support. So please remember us at this late season of the year. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. All right, my friends, stay safe, stay vigilant, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.